I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood.
Hello, film lovers, new listeners and old listeners. Welcome to the irreverent chat about film. Is that how you describe this?
I guess so, yeah. I don't like to describe it as a review show, even though it seems to have become that.
What we do normally is we pick a couple of films and talk about them that we've seen. Normally a cinema release and an older film, and read out your emails, and then in a stupid voice. That's what's going to happen.
That's pretty much it, just to deal with your expectations there. We've seen films, as per usual, but before we talk about those, there's been the biggest event in cinema.
Yes, the Oscars, which, if you're in the UK as we are, it's almost impossible to watch.
And if you're in America, where it's on, it's pretty impossible to watch as well. I mean, it's an intolerable spectacle.
Is it difficult for them to watch in... Oh, if you actually watch
it? It's just difficult to watch, you know. I mean, it's not entertaining. It's pretty boring. It goes on for about 5 hours.
It's a lot of forced smiles.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't be fun sitting in the first five rows, knowing you're going to get picked on and having to do that sort of laugh and smile to everything. You can see it's, but they look like they're bad actors when they're doing that fake smile.
Yeah, well, the weird thing is, what everyone in that room, what they don't do is theatre entertainment. But that's what they're forced to do, you know, do little skits and songs. And they're just like, oh, this is just awkward. It's always sort of musical numbers and stuff. It's just like this. It just makes me cringe. It feels like comic relief, you know, where it's got... It's a big spectacle that's supposed to be funny, but just isn't.
And I hate when actors cry.
Do you?
It's just almost like my huge ego has finally been satisfied. The director of Birdman said something great. Inarritu, what's his name?
Inarritu.
That each, when he won the best director, said that each film, or he won the best film, would be judged on... over time rather than now, which is
true. Yeah.
I really liked him. I thought it was good. So let's just talk about the winners. We do a competition every year to win, well, we've done the last 2 years,
yeah,
to win
a certificate, a limited edition to one or two if there are two winners, or three if there's three, to some for the winner. But this year, no winners. So it's going to be a rollover year. So next year, the winner will get two certificates.
No winners.
No, probably
about
winners.
30 or 40 people wrote in.
We got it wrong. We both got it wrong. Who let you down on the night?
I went for ones I liked rather than the ones I thought win. And I went... there's Buddy the dog for everyone in the background.
Hello.
Felicity Jones, I thought she'd win Best Actress, but it went to...
Patricia Arquette.
No, Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore, sorry. Patricia Arquette won Best Supporting.
And yes. Eddie Redmayne got it when I thought she'd been Michael Keaton.
So Michael Keaton let us both down.
Yeah.
And who else let... No, that was that the only... No, I got another one wrong.
You went for Julianne Moore.
Yes, who won.
And he went for the Richard Linklater or Boyhood's Best Director.
That's a Boyhood for Best Film. That's it.
So, let's just quickly go over the winners.
Yeah.
Birdman won Best Picture and... Inarritu won Best Director as well. Eddie Redmayne, Best Actor. Julianne Moore, Best Actress. J.K. Simmons, as everyone thought, Best Supporting Actor. Patricia Arquette, Best Supporting Actress. And
there's not many surprises in there, really. It's just picking which. There were a couple of people who. It's either this one or that one. You know, it went to one of those two every time, didn't it? I mean, what were the other categories? The stuff we've not talked about before.
Well, best foreign film. You saw Ida, won that.
Yeah, fantastic. It was really good. You saw Leviathan, didn't you? Which was up for it as well.
Interesting film. I put on our Facebook page a reaction. So finally, we get to hear what you lot thought of the Oscars, which is probably more interesting than what I think. Let's have a little read of them now. Stephen Richard Smith says,
"I thought Boyhood was snubbed. The Oscars clearly reward showy films. Not modest, but still important."
Chris Webb said, "I thought the Oscar winners were really predictable. Shame I didn't predict them."
Ben Thomas Hyten said, "I didn't love Birdman, but I liked it a lot more than Boyhood. So it's a win of sorts. Whiplash, Foxcatcher and Nightcrawler are still superior films. And the best actor race was bullshit by no virtue of Oyelowo, Vines or Gyllenhaal. That said, the show itself was the best in years."
Well, I can't speak for that. I didn't see it because I find them tedious. But maybe I was wrong this year. Which one am I looking at? Andy McGregor says,
"Blimey, really? That was a firm, accurate kick in the giblets for Boyhood."
Simon Skulltock says,
"I were close. I got all the actors right, and at least mentioned Birdman as being a spectacular job."
And Ewan McGuinness says, "Actors like films about acting." The same voice there.
Do it,
one.
Do it.
There's a couple more things people wrote.
Emma Samardizijia Yabududu. I have no idea how you say your name, Emma. It says, "I'm really sad for Boyhood. I really thought it deserved Best Director." I agree. Sam Clack.
Great name.
Great name, Sam.
He says, "Happy that Birdman won big. It's a masterclass in movie making and packed with outstanding performances." So that's what you thought. Personally, I thought, a lot of people saying that Boyhood should have won. My subjective opinion is I much prefer Birdman.
I think Birdman is a better film. I thought that the endeavour of... Both Birdman and Boyhood should be commended for the director's endeavour. One for the longevity of it taking 12 years to accomplish and to stick with that and create a piece that works so well. But also with Birdman, to do the whole thing as one take, where even though, you know, they papered over the gaps, you know, with CG or whatever, they did 15 pages at a time at certain times. So the performances they get out of that and just bothering to do that is again, for a director, really difficult. So I thought it's a shame Boyhood got very little, you know.
Well, but still being nominated is good enough. And I think Boyhood, the main problem with me with Boyhood is that the main actor grew up to be more and more of a penis. It was gradually someone evolving into a dickhead. And
we left him at that sort of thinks they know everything but knows nothing stage of his life, didn't we? So
I preferred the first half that I found more interesting than the second half, and it was carried by Patricia Arquette and
Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, but I think it must be frustrating with these films. It all depends what year you come out on, because I think this year it's been a really great competition. Because Argo won, was it Argo last year or year before? I can't remember. Yeah. And that's not as good as Boyhood, no. Whiplash, or Birdman, or quite, I think there's at least half the list, which I think are much better films.
Have you seen Nightcrawler?
I'm waiting for Nightcrawler to be released for rental. It's the only film I missed out on last year.
You can get it streaming, but it's still like a tenner. Which is stupid.
March the 2nd, it's out for rental, so I'm going to be watching it then.
Yeah, yeah, me too. We can talk about that another week. Yes. Animated film. Do you have the results up there? What won Best Animated after the controversy of Lego not being nominated?
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6, okay.
My nephew, who is 3 years old, enjoyed.
That's good to know.
But it is the first film he's ever seen at the cinema, so I would not trust him as a reviewer.
I think it would be incredible for a three-year-old to go to the cinema for the first time and not be impressed. He was like, I can take it or leave it. That wasn't for me.
He was scared, first of all.
Yeah.
And wanted to go home. And then he wanted to stay. So Big Hero 6. But he's got a sticker book.
Yeah.
And his favourite character, worryingly,
yeah,
is the evil villain.
Oh.
So he's going to grow up to be a psychopath.
Okay, good. Well, as long as we've got him defined already, that's good.
Watch this space here.
For more news of Merrick's...
In approximately 30 years' time, there'll be a mass murderer with the surname of Larwood, and you'll think, oh, I want to listen to a podcast with some... And I thought that bloke was a bit weird, so I'm not surprised.
Big Hero 6 is probably the first superhero film to win an Oscar.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Purely because Lego got ripped off.
I was thinking about Lego. Do we think it got snubbed because, however entertaining it may be, it is at the end of the day a product shilling movie? It's named after a, you know, a toy you can buy. Like, it's no, in its conception, it is no better than Transformers, you know?
But they all, you could say they're all like that the other way around. Like, films are such marketing, all kids' films and Disney films, yeah, you know.
You're right, they are all toy things. Since, apparently, since Batman, or maybe it's Star Wars, probably.
What was the first Disney film when it really got in the whole McDonald's thing?
Oh, I don't know. I do know that Lucas made serious headway in terms of keeping the merchandising rights for himself. Because that's where he would make all of his money.
Star Wars was the biggest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Going, getting those old Star Wars packs and looking at the back. And the genius bit of putting all the figures you could get on the back.
Yeah. So you wanted to collect them. It's what they did with Asterix books on the back. Every issue was, the cover was on the back, so you wanted to get them all. Kids love that.
I'm gonna start putting pictures of different parts of my body on my back.
Why do you want people to collect parts of your body?
That's a bad idea, isn't it?
It's a terrible idea.
There's some semblance of an idea in there.
Yeah, hold on to it, but don't run with it just yet. I think you need to...
Think about it.
Yeah.
Here's a good motto. Think about things before you say them out loud.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I hope everyone pays attention to that in 2015.
I'm glad the Oscars this year had a moral. We've seen some movies, haven't we?
Yes, we have seen. So, do you want to talk about yours first?
Sure. I went to see a film I have been meaning to see for a while. It's still out in some cinemas. It is The Babadook, which is a horror film that got some attention by people for saying it's actually, you know, a new good one rather than just carbon copies of the others. You've mentioned it briefly, but we haven't discussed
it
properly.
I saw it a few weeks ago, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, for people who do not know the setup of this, it is about a mother, a widow, bringing up her young child alone, and the stresses of that because of the death of his father, her husband, he's become a bit of a problem child, and she's not coping very well. Is the setup of the thing? They're just rattling around this, this drafty house together.
And it's New Zealand.
Australian or New Zealand?
Yeah, so the director, it was a short film, first of all, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And everyone's saying this is a new great horror director. And it's good because it's nice to have a female director in something, and it's doing something. It's Jennifer Kent who wrote it as well. I think it was a short that went on to get funding to be a feature film.
Yeah, which is what it is in every sense. I thought it was excellent.
Did you find it scary?
Yeah.
As scary as Buddy drinking water in the background.
But Buddy died years ago.
It's more of a psychological thing than a horror, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
About madness, I suppose.
And it is. And the it's not even an allegory for something, really. It is just about... So I mean, I don't want to give things away, but it's about mental health, and it's a very contemporary story. Therefore, it's a story that hasn't been covered by the horror genre, you know, in the same way before.
Do you mean they should have called it "Kids Will Drive You Mental"?
Mental love. Oh,
my kids drive me absolutely round the bend.
I thought it was excellently written in the and just delivered in the way that you are starting to hate the kid as well by about, you know, the, in the first third or by about the halfway point. You're just like, oh my God.
He's a really good, brilliant kid. I mean, you can count on your hand how many kids actually make the film better rather than just ruin it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's the Babadook itself is refers to a monster in a book that they find on a shelf that they didn't know they had, and she accidentally, I suppose, reads him this story, and it terrifies him and gives him nightmares. And it's
but the backstory is that she's lost her husband, isn't she?
To, yes, a car accident.
Yeah, and she's having to bring up this kid who's pretty much an arsehole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Were you like that as a kid?
No, I was really well behaved. If anything, I become more
like him now.
Of an arsehole now.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I was very well behaved.
And I think kids today aren't very well behaved. A lot of them.
I don't know. There were a fair few kids in my day who weren't very well behaved either.
Bring back smacking and all that stuff.
Yeah, smacking, kicking,
locking in cupboards under the stairs,
murder.
That's the problem. Is that a lot of people live in flats now and so smaller. So there's no cupboard under the stairs to lock the child.
Bungalow is, what do you do in a bungalow?
You're supposed to lock the child to discipline them.
There's no basement, there's no loft, there's no stairs.
When I'm looking for the house plans, I want at least one. That's a 90 time siren. I want at least one room for discipline.
Discipline?
Yeah. Should be called the discipline room.
And then when your child grows up and leaves home, sex room.
No, you just make it into not an office or just a cutlery weapons room.
Cutlery and weapons room. That
cutlery
makes sense.
And weapons. They've all both got to be kept clean.
That's very true. That's very true. Have you ever been to a house with a gun room?
No, I just think anyone who's got guns is really weird.
Well, yeah, yeah. Or, you know, a farmer. But, yeah. Anyway, it's a weird thing. I've been to a house with a gun room safe behind a hidden bookcase.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you say it sounds like some sort of secret agent person?
No, no, it's just, you know, someone who lives in the country.
Really rich, though, are they?
Yeah.
You've got to have a certain money to have gun in your house.
Hey, I think I'd go for hidden bookcase first, and then gun room, as you know, even if I want, you know. Don't really need one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Back to the Babadook.
The Babadook. No, I've read lots of reviews of it, and the one in it has split people a bit. I think as any film that gets hyped will split people because people feel the need to go, well, I didn't think it was that good. I mean, the hype of this was, I think, mostly earned, and it also needed the hype because it clearly wasn't a massive film that had a huge promotions budget. So it was one of those that word of mouth did very good for.
Well, it's the Halloween film.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is. And every year, however, the powers are. The distributors obviously go, right, we need to put two or three films out.
Yeah.
And to make money.
But compared.
And it's not really. It's more of a psychological sort of breakdown film.
Yeah.
That would fit their. That they've made into. Because they were marketing it as this sort of the Babadook being this monster. And I think. They sort of almost changed it a bit in the marketing to try and boost sales.
I think you'd get a bit. And that's you might be disappointed if you're expecting a monster.
And I think that's the thing. I think a lot of people I know went to see it at Halloween.
Yeah.
Let's go and see this as this really scary film. And is it that? Is it the terrifying film?
So many reviews I've read completely missed the entire point of it. Mm. You know, they're just going, well, why did the Babadook do this or the Babadook do that? You're just like, no, the Babadook isn't real. That's not. You do know what this is about, right? And, you know, the people reviewing it just as a monster movie just have completely missed, you know, what...
But that's what's interesting, I think, how films get sort of warped to fit the marketing of these companies. And then they get, you know... Obviously, it's helped it make a low, low money, but people reviewed it quite badly. People reviewed it badly, I think, were going thinking
that
the preconception of another film.
So actually, you know, they were pissed off with the marketing people, not the people who've made the film, which is probably unfair, but you're right, it happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If a trailer can... The expectation is the first beat of the story, almost, with any film. So if they've told that wrong, then you can go in with completely the wrong
idea. And it is a pretty much a low... I don't know what the budget is, but I think it was...
It's got to be small, hasn't it?
It wasn't a huge budget film.
No.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I did. Horror, you know, I'm not a massive horror fan, you know, I don't consume it. I can watch one and then you sort of, I don't need to watch one for a while because they're all quite...
The problem is it's all been, it's just, the idea of horror is there's sort of different ways of laughing, aren't there? You laugh because you agree with things, you laugh because you're shocked by something.
Yeah.
You laugh to...
cover awkwardness.
Yeah. So when in comedy, there's sort of lots of different jokes and get different kind of laughter, and fear, I think, is a lot of it is something you're unexpected, and because each film cements the
expectation.
Yeah, the tropes also, of horror we're so used to. By the time you're in your 30s or 40s. You're just bored by it.
But there is another side to horror than that, which is what Alfred Hitchcock played with. He said, tell the audience something that the protagonist doesn't know, and then they're just waiting for it to happen. So, you know, rather it's not always unexpected. Sometimes, and they now do it in every horror film, large amounts of unlit space behind the protagonist that they're not looking at, that you're just waiting for something to come out of it because it's been framed as such that that you would see it if it did. And often nothing comes out of it, but it just keeps you tense for the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, knowing something is going to happen, but not...
It's the same when you play video games. When I do video games where you're controlling this character and half the screen's dark and you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
You almost want to. There's a frustration.
Horror video games are terrifying now. Absolutely terrifying.
What was the one I played? I can't remember what it was. Some weird sort of town thing. I've stopped playing them.
Silent Hill.
Yeah, Silent Hill.
Silent Hill with all the fog. They've since made lots of movies out of those. And originally, the whole fog of Silent Hill was purely because. The computers weren't sophisticated enough to load the whole town, so the fog was just to cover the fact that it hadn't loaded yet. Great idea. And you had a radio that made weird noises when bad things were near.
It was terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. The films are duff. Completely duff. But, well, I've only seen the first one, but it's pretty duff. Alien Isolation is the latest one that was sort of Game of the Year last year.
Okay.
And it's in the Alien franchise that is... It's really scary. It's really tense, you know. It's so tense. Anyway, that actually segues me onto the news that came out this week, which is... I don't know if you've heard. Neil Blomkamp is definitely on to direct the next Alien film. But also Sigourney Weaver has signed up and... The most interesting, they're going to ignore Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection as if they didn't happen. He's just going to do the third in the Alienses.
I feel bad for Alien 3.
That's what people are saying. Yeah. But it's because the way Alien 3 began is that they just erased the end of Alien 2 by killing off Newt and So... Everyone felt, oh, that's it's a bit cheap.
Yeah.
You know, because it undermines the victory of the previous one entirely. So it's interesting, though, because Prometheus was so disappointing. Blomkamp's very good at sci-fi, you know, hopefully.
It's almost turning into a choose-your-own-adventure thing with these things.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many films out there that spoil the original ones. You can just think, actually, I want these ones to be my three Alien.
Yeah,
the 28 million.
Yeah, films. Or ignoring the fourth Indiana Jones film, for instance, and pretending it never happened.
Yeah, or even the third one I didn't really like.
Yeah, did you not? I love it.
Talking about, I'm going back to the games thing, so I'm a bit all over the place today.
It's quite all right.
The film I'm going to talk about, the documentary, minute, was recommended by a friend of the show, Dan Lowe, who said that I met him the other day. He said he tried out the new Google, the Oculus. Is it called Oculus?
Which one? Google Glass or Oculus Rift?
Oculus Rift thing.
Oculus Rift. VR helmet.
Yeah. So the virtual reality helmet. And virtual reality disappeared, you know, in the 80s when it was going to be this huge big thing and then just went away.
Do you remember that Craig Charles TV show that tried to be the Crystal Maze with virtual reality?
Yeah,
before computers could really do it.
And now he said to me, he tried it, it's amazing. And he made a really interesting point. That it's going to lead to a change in what films are made, what media is made. And in fact, a lot of cinema will be, when we're talking about Silent Hill, you're much more, it's more scary when you're involved in this, playing this game through the fog, because it's you somehow.
Well, you're right, and it's all going to go this way. There's a company called Telltale Games who are quite popular. They do sort of interactive movies, really. They're all animated with games engines and stuff. There's no live action footage, but they've done the Walking Dead series and they've done a Game of Thrones one, and they've just signed a massive deal with Lionsgate. No one knows what they're going to do yet, but that's a huge, you know, deal of this crossover between interactivity and film.
Well, I said he said, well, I agree with him, it's going to lead to a whole new spate of POV films where you actually in the your
for the horror genre, that would be terrifying.
That will completely make it. Imagine putting them one of those headsets on and you move around and you see, and I suppose now when they're shooting things with 4K and it's even getting better than that, you can have the this huge picture, you know.
Yeah.
You can cut so you can see like an HD version of it and move your head around so they can film the the whole 4K size, so you can move around and see it all. But it's fascinating to how that will change the film industry.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of making that crossover between films and games, which has happened with games moving into films, but actually you being watching it in a different medium.
Well, I've played games a long time, and I remember it being exciting when you got cinematic live action footage in games for the first time. You know, of course, by today's standards, it was really pixelated and everything. But for instance, in the Wing Commander games, the fact that instead of playing some sort of pixelated cartoon, you know, some version of you know, Mario or Lara Croft or whatever, you were Mark Hamill. You know, that was, you know,
before or after
after Star Wars, but I mean, it's after the car accident.
Okay.
And your wingman was Biff from Back to the Future. And, you know, just like, and there were cut scenes with the two of them. And that's really fun. That was fun. And it just made it more real. It actually helped that when the graphics weren't good to have these bits to make you feel like there was a world beyond these, you know, just sort of flickering polygons going.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting because video games has just exploded since games consoles came around. So
the end of cinema. Or is it? Should I talk about the film I went to see,
maybe? Yeah, go ahead. This documentary. What's it called?
It was recommended by my friend Dan Lowry. It's the best film we saw last year. It's called The Overnighters. And you may have read in the news about how oil prices are dropping and affecting all the consumer goods recently.
I have not.
Well, that's happening. And partly because of fracking. You've heard of fracking?
Yes.
Well, this documentary follows a town called Williston in North Dakota, which is right up in the north of the states, where it was a town of 10,000 people, and they've started fracking there, and that's led to a huge swathe of poor, you know, unemployed Americans. A miniature gold rush, really.
Right.
Going to this small town to find jobs in the new oil, well, the fracking fields.
It's natural gas fracking,
Where they're getting, where people who've got questionable pasts and can't find jobs are suddenly able to get work three or four times the salaries they could get.
Is it labour intensive then? Is it a lot of people?
So this follows the story of this pastor who runs this Lutheran church there, and he's one of the few people who he runs this overnight scheme where he allows all these men who arrive, and it is mainly pretty much all men without any money or work, just desperate to try and find new jobs. He puts them up overnight in his church and allows them to sleep in the car park, and the locals and he loses church members, and they turn against the church because they think that they're getting all these unsavoury characters. Earlier on, before the documentary started, someone got a local teacher got murdered by two people travelling through, so there's all this animosity
to strangers, basically outsiders.
Yeah, and he's a man saying, oh, because I'm he's very, you know, religious man, he's got them sleeping in his own, two people sleeping in his own home, people with criminal records and stuff like that. But he believes you should extend the will of God, you know, people in need. That's part of the church's core sentiment, to help people.
Yeah.
It is absolutely fascinating because it feels really modern, because it's like it's a gold rush of this time.
When was it filmed?
2012, 2013.
Right.
And it's got an incredible twist in it. The pastor is this you see all the torment he's going through and how he's torn between his people and what he thinks he should be doing in terms of his religion.
Yeah.
And I thought it was quite rare to see a documentary which is very zeitgeisty about what's happening right now.
Yes.
And the bloke who made it just heard about it. It's pretty much done by one guy. Went and started filming, going every 2 weeks, sleeping with the overnighters, picking on two or three of these, not sleeping with them, but and following some stories.
Yeah.
And as there's bits that get leaked out to the press, like, what, you know, whether he's harbouring sort of sex offenders and stuff and the locals get, and the local newspaper starts printing sort of details about people who are staying with this church scheme. As a project done by one man, I thought it was really great. I really enjoyed it.
What's it called again? And
it's called The Overnighters. It didn't really get released over here because I got recommended it last year, and they're only showing in the States. And then finally, it's got released on iTunes.
Is that the only place you can find?
I just looked on there and I watched it because I thought I should really watch this thing.
Something that still doesn't seem to exist. I mean, just on a slight tangent, is any site that tells you every place this thing is legitimately available. You know, it feels like we're getting to the point where we need that, you know?
Yeah.
There are sites that do exist, but they always are paid for by, you know, Netflix or whatever to only funnel you in one direction. There's nowhere that seems to be keeping an eye on, you know, in the UK, you can get, if you look up this film, that's available on iTunes, Blinkbox, and Amazon Prime. There's nothing like that.
No, maybe we don't know about, but I think if it was on IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
So just go and watch the stuff. And I really want to pay to watch even old stuff.
Exactly.
I want to go somewhere that's a non sort of virus free, not no worries about going.
I don't want to steal stuff from people who've tried hard.
I want to give people who made it money.
Yeah,
and there should be a way of doing that. But I think it's all they want you to from there. So there should be a way of doing it, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, that's a slight tangent, but this sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I give it 7 Mareks. I think it is. Someone's written on IMDb, this is a great film for fans of The Grapes of Wrath. Has got that sort of feel about it, for people going to this sort of desolate town, trying to make their fortune, and it all going wrong, and there's, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but there's an undercurrent of you're sort of questioning the pastor and questioning his motivations, and you see the strain it puts on his wife and their family. Mm. And you try and think morally, what camp am I in? You know, I don't want, is that sort of not in my backyard?
Yeah.
And you don't want your town ruined. But
yeah.
It's like a place completely changed by,
well, by the promise of money, basically, sudden money, isn't it, as well?
And the desperate characters that leads to and how it can't cope. But I thought it was really interesting to see almost like something that happened 100 years ago being occurring again now.
Yeah.
But I thoroughly recommend, if you like a good documentary, you want to see something a bit different and something a bit, it's nice to see that story of America, which isn't the sort of, isn't America great, isn't the isn't it the greatest place on the earth, where a story that's sort of motivated by desperation and people sort of saying that America isn't this land of chance and opportunity anymore. It's just
we like the idea of doing America down either. It's about time we had a bit of just honesty about.
But I think you see the other side of it, and I think you see the reality of it, and I think it's very interesting.
Yeah.
So look, go on iTunes if you're fancy something a bit different. The Overnighters, and well done to Jesse Moss, who pretty much made it himself.
Great. All right. Well, that's us for this week. If you'd like to email us and have your email read out on the show, then do so, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. You can also go to Facebook and talk to each other, including what your opinions about the Oscar winners were. That's facebook.com/filmfandango. Or you can tweet us @filmfandango, @MrDavidReed, or @MarekLarwood. And we do all of this for free. So the only way we can continue to do this, we can afford to do this, is if you donate towards our running costs for the episodes you listen to. So if you'd like to do that, please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. And to everyone who has, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, and keep
watching the films. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.